Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
School of Humans.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Cadaver Gals. Yes, this is the podcast where we talk about weird ways that people have died. Totally normal thing, totally normal hobby to have, right? We should not be worried. It's okay. I have a therapist appointment tomorrow. I am Mika, one of your three hosts, along with Taylor.
Hi, hi.
And Gabi.
Hi.
Yeah, yeah, that's how you pronounce her name. No, that's how you pronounce her name.
Gabi, hi.
Gabi.
Hi, Gabi.
So on today's show, we're going to be exploring how laughing is a scary, scary thing and why bouncy castles are actually omens of death. Oh, yes. So as always, we have some trigger warnings because for some reason, some people find death triggering. So today, it's heart failure, racism, death, flying in the air, and torture, you know? Fun Hooray. Episode we have ahead of us. Yes, yes. If you listen to this in the mornings, like on your commute, what is wrong with you? Okay, and I'm kidding. Thank you so much for listening. And on that note, cue alligator music.
Cadaver Gals!
So, Taylor, a little clown told me you have... I'm kidding. I'm scared of clowns. But someone in my heart, you, told me that you have a story to tell.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about this in our meeting earlier this week.
No, we don't do meetings. This is all improv. Yes, and. Okay.
This is off the cuff.
This is all super off the cuff. I have not planned this at all.
Yeah, we're spontaneous, cool girls.
Okay, so Maurice Aegis, he was an art teacher and a British sculptor, which is really hard to say back to back. British sculptor, anyway.
British sculptor. No, it's not. Okay.
No, I think
British
it's hard.
British scopula.
Thank you, Gabi.
Gabi.
No. Gabi, it's hard.
Right. Quiet, it's Tyler's story. Okay.
Shut up, Mika.
So sculptor, you think like, you know, stone or like ice sculpture. That's what I think of, you know. But this is a different kind of sculpture. He created what he called these dream spaces. And they were meant to be kind of like a hallucination that you experience with like your whole body. So lots of bright colors, weird music. It's just kind of like an immersive art installation.
That sounds like I can just imagine that pitch meeting of like that project. So it's like an immersive experience and we're doing and then they just give them money.
I mean, Adult Swim would say yes in a heartbeat. So
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, he started doing this in the 60s with this other fellow. I can't remember his name, but
Bruce.
Yeah, I think it was like maybe Peter or something like that. But anyway, he started with a P.
Penis.
Peter's the only one I could think of.
Gabby, why would a man be called penis?
Okay, here's my theory. If I was ever named Richard, I wouldn't go by dick. I would go by penis. Because that's confidence.
Okay, oh my gosh.
Dick, okay. That's such a pussy move. Go by penis. Okay.
Right. I feel like penis isn't even that used anymore, though. Now you use dick or cock more. So wouldn't it actually be better to be called penis?
Or how? Ding dong.
How have we gotten here? I okay, was literally talking Taylor. About art, and you're like, penis. Yes, that's what we're going to talk about.
I'm sorry. Continue, please.
Taylor, if you don't have all the facts, I'm going to fill them in with some nonsense.
You're going to fill them in? Ah, winky.
All right. All right. Let's refocus. So anyway, in the 60s, so he was, you know, hallucinations, psychedelics, all that was a thing. So he created these. They're kind of like an inflatable bouncy castle meets like a fun house. There's like a lot of bright colors. Like, you remember those things, those like parachute things when you were a kid in gym class?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What was the point of those? I still don't know.
Teamwork.
Okay, got it.
Also, imagine if you farted in one of those while everyone was underneath.
Literally, Gabby, no.
I know, it's good. But see, when I was a kid, I was kind of I was a husky girl. And like, I was prone to farting. And so I hope I never did, but I couldn't be too sure.
Y'all, young Gabby is so cute.
Young Gabby is so sad.
Oh, no. You know, the other day I looked into the mirror and I thought of my younger self, like my self-child, my inner child, and I started crying.
Okay. Rolling it back in.
Continue, crying. Taylor.
So we're talking about like happy sculptures and art installations that are like kind of psychedelic and hallucinogenic. Anyway, so a lot of people have described them kind of like honeycombs. And like if you have the trypophobia, I feel like it would be a little bit triggering because like it's kind of like... It does look like a honeycomb and like, anyway, and other people have described it like a womb. All of these descriptions are really not that cute and doesn't sound appealing to me, but they look fun. Anyway, we'll show pictures on our Instagram. Don't you worry. And so the people, like when you go in, like they give you these parachute, like smock things. They're like really colorful and you like put on this smock and then you go in and you just kind of like explore this bouncy castle / sculpture / immersive experience or whatever. These structures are actually pretty big. I saw very, very conflicting sizes. So I'm not even going to try and pretend to say how big they are. But they could hold at least 30 people comfortably. It also had like a wheelchair ramp, solid enough for that. So that kind of gives you a picture. They were pretty big.
Where were these set usually?
Parks, you know, anywhere where there was enough land.
But so like, in the West Coast, like where was he?
Oh, we're
set
in
up,
England.
Oh, we're in. Yes, my brain is working today. Right, we're in England. Of course we are.
The West Coast of England.
I don't know why I thought this was like a Coachella thing, you know? Okay.
Well, they did do like installations like all over Europe. And I do think that one went to LA at one point. So there you go, to be fair.
Yeah, it sounds like Burning Man.
Yeah, exactly. It reminds me a little bit of like an installation that would be in Meowwolf or something, which if you don't know what that is, look it up because it is awesome.
We're just showing how like arty we are. Like we're just naming off things that has art.
Yeah, with me being the least arty because I said Coachella. Anyway.
My favorite artist retreat is Coachella.
Oh my God. Okay. Anyway, so 2006. At this point, Maurice has been doing these for years. People loved them, grew to be quite the exciting attraction. But as you know, this is not a podcast about success and happy stories. So on July 22nd, 2006, was a routine art installation in Chester Le Street Riverside Park in Durham, England. And this was, you know, it was supposed to be there for a while. So what they would do at night is they would deflate it. They had security guards to like watch it or whatever. And then it was supposed to be there for like the rest of the month. So 40 some odd people are queuing up to enjoy the Dream Space 5 when they all hear a loud snap.
Oh, good.
Yep, that's not a good sign. So the straps that are tying the structure down break loose with 30 people inside.
They're going to go on a real adventure now, you know?
So the 40 people in line are like, oh, that's not good. So they rush to help. So nice of them. But a gust of wind comes, and they were no match for the gust of wind and this giant structure. And so if the structure like flips over on its side and like is dragging some of these 40 people, mind you, 30 people are inside. It flips on its side. So people just start ping-ponging everywhere inside.
Oh, no.
So after that, like, there's another gust of wind. And it lifts up the entire structure 30 feet in the air. 30 feet, 30 people. Scary AF.
30 feet is, like, very long. That's a very high outlet.
How many Nikas?
Space. I mean, how many?
Five Nikas?
A lot of six Nikas. Nikas. Yeah.
What about these gusts of wind? That's more than a gust. That sounds like a... What's the next thing above a gust? I don't know.
Well, it's funny because they said that it wasn't, like, a windy day. They said that, you know, they were saying that, like, it was just a weird... Yeah. Like, they, you know, it was, like, an inflatable structure, so, like... It's like
susceptible.
It got up under those, and so like it already had air going into it, and just like it had the assistance of the bouncy of the air pumps or whatever.
You know, I think that there might be like maybe trampolines and bouncy castles anger God, because I was reading about trampolines for this story, and the same thing happened with a person was on a trampoline, and a gust of wind randomly happened, and it killed them.
Wow.
Did you just try and do your tangent in the middle of my story?
I'm so sorry. No, it's not even a part of my tangent because it was too sad. Continue, Taylor. Okay. But I still mentioned it.
So eventually it's in the air. It hits a CCTV pole, which broke its flying wherever trajectory it was going and comes crashing down onto concrete. This whole incident was really about a minute, but people described the scene, and this is horrific. Like, laughter and fun of, like, being in this, you know, having a good time to just screams of horror. But a 68-year-old woman and a 33-year-old fell, dropped to their deaths. 13 others were very seriously injured. Fire, police teams rushed to the scene, trying to get everyone out of the installation because they're, like, in these, like wormhole-type things. There was one child that was airlifted out. And survived, thank goodness, to an anesthetist that was at the park and was able to, like, stabilize them until they got them to the hospital. But obviously, after that, they secured the area and they have to do, like, an investigation. Because they're like, why did this happen? This is really weird. This guy's been doing this for years. So they kind of, you know, they went back. They realized that, you know, all of the safety measures were taken. The night before, deflated properly. It was safely guarded throughout the night until the next day. However, they did say that there was perhaps some vandalism. And because the structure had been slashed like 2 weeks prior, but like they did all of the safety checks and everything like that. And so it was like cleared for use. So they were like, I mean, there was no like necessarily any negligence there. Well, Maurice was arrested for suspicion of manslaughter at first.
Wait, Maurice, the sculptor?
Yes, the guy who created this installation.
Why would he do that to his own creation?
Exactly. He was later released. And they were like, no. So then a trial happens, and that is where he's charged with breaching of the Health and Safety at Work Act and was fined £10,000. He was, like, very clearly distraught and upset. It's obviously, like, a freak accident, but he said that he was never going to make one of these structures again. So I kind of feel bad for him. That was, like, his life's work. And then this horrible, just freak accident. Like, he'd done it a zillion times before. Anyway, so 3 years after the incident, which, like, you know how long investigations and trials and all that stuff takes. So, like, 6 months after the trial or something, in 2009, Maurice passes away at the age of 77. I didn't find, like, how he died, but they put his ashes in, like, four colorful urns. And then, so, you know, just kind of like to honor him. There's no official verdict on the manslaughter charges, but obviously seems like, it doesn't seem like manslaughter to me, but it was a very tragic, horrific, awful, awful, awful event that was very traumatizing for a lot of people.
And they never found out, like, what the reason was. It was just some freak accident.
It was just, like, some freak accident. They were, I mean, I guess they were just saying, you know, like, they could have taken extra precautions. But, like, I mean, it was cleared to be used. But obviously, like, somebody kind of has to pay, which is a little bit ridiculous. But, you know, there has to be some sort of, like, I feel like in a lot of instances, there has to be some sort of resolution, because otherwise, you know, there's all these victims that are like, what do I have to blame? Or like, who can I be mad at or something? I don't
know. That's so sad on all accounts. That's just so sad.
I just can't imagine being in a bouncy castle type thing and it flying away. I don't ever want to be in the bouncy castle industry.
And it's clown adjacent, so you never know what's going to happen. So you have to watch out.
Well, exactly. That's what makes it cursed. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for this, you know, this sad story.
You're welcome.
Honestly, I would have gone into one of those bouncy castles, because I actually think that's really interesting. So I'm sad he's not he passed away. But
well, and he's not doing them anymore because people died. And he was like, all right, that's enough of that. I mean, he had been doing it a while. Like, he kind of started, I couldn't tell if he like started this style of works in the 60s, or if he started these bouncy castles. They kind of became more popular in like the 80s, 80s, 90s, and obviously the 2000s. So,
the amount of drugs people probably did inside of those bouncy castles is just, you know, fascinating to me.
I mean, yeah, he wanted it to be like a psychedelic hallucination trip. Experience. So
when we come back, you know, I'll do my little tangent, and it really has nothing to do with Taylor's story, but it starts with T, and that's all that matters. BRB.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, welcome back to Cadaver Gals. Now, call me a traditionalist. Starts with T. Hey, traditionalist.
You're but a traditionalist.
Okay.
Yeah. Mika, traditional.
You're giving us instructions.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, call me a traditionalist, but I personally think that our fragile human bodies should not be submitted to hours upon hours of bouncing. That is not really what Taylor's story was about, but we're going to go on this journey anyways.
Surely people were bounced around in there, you know?
Surely people were. And I think excessive bouncing is a thing that can actually be really dangerous, okay? And I have proof, okay?
You seem very passionate about this, Nika. Have there been times where you've been bounced around a little bit too much?
You know, moved around a little too much, too fast.
Very funny, Taylor. It's funny because we call moving around sex in this podcast. And yes, okay, this is a personal vendetta, okay? This is my Joker origin story. I have proof. For example, in 2012, the American Academy of Pediatrics actually publicly stated that they discouraged, with a capital D, the use of trampolines, calling them dangerous, with a capital D, and a high-risk environment. Okay?
And, okay.
Uh-huh. And trampoline stunts are a leading cause of cervical spine injuries, according to the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. Ow. I know. And I personally have a memory of being on a trampoline, trampolining around, bouncing, having a good time. I was in Australia, and then I hit my head so hard on the edge of it. And I remember just, like, feeling, like, this numbness over my head and, like, it's horrible. It just felt really bad. And then I just got up.
Did you have a concussion?
I don't know. We've already figured out on this podcast that I have had two concussions and have never gotten treated for them. Anyway.
This sounds like a third.
Yeah. This does sound like a third. Anyway, so that's why I have certain feelings about trampolines and jumping around, okay?
When I was a kid, we had a trampoline. And, I mean, it had a net around it. But I was like, this is how I'm going to, like, break something. Like, I just knew that it was, like, inevitable. I didn't. But, like, I just felt like it was inevitable that it was going to happen.
Hold up. How are you scared of trampolines but not horses? Horse injuries are, like, a very real thing.
Because I'm a really talented horseback rider. I'm kidding.
I think we should ride on the beach, you know, like a Ralph Lauren commercial. Anyway, and one more factoid about the dangers of trampolining before I get into the history of trampolining, okay?
Can't wait.
Yeah, thank you. Is that according to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, 100, which by the way, those are the people that also banned Kinder Eggs, so I don't necessarily trust them fully, but 120,000 hospital visits to the ER in the US were the direct results of trampoline accidents. Trampolines have a vendetta on humans. They are coming to get us. They have already gotten us, okay?
They already got us.
Yeah, they did. And you know who is responsible for all of this?
Let me say it. Ronald Reagan.
No, a man.
I was gonna say Sir Tramps-a-Lot.
No, this man called George Nissen, who actually died pretty recently at 96 in 2010. So he lived a long life, which means we can talk bad about him. So I'm kidding. So he and his co-conspirator, Larry Griswold, invented the trampoline in 1936. A very recent invention, mind you. So
this, the way you're talking about this reminds me of your aversion to, what are the, not golden doodles.
Labradoodles? The spawns from hell. Yeah. No, you look into their faces, you know that is not a dog inside of there. You know what I mean? Their little eyes.
It's the same passion. You have the same passion for this.
You know, because so. I'll never forget when I hit my head really hard in Australia. Did I keep trampolining? Yes. Would I trampoline today? I would be tempted.
Did the Labradoodle also injure you?
No.
Was there
they
like
just
a terrible
me.
Labradoodle trampoline incident?
Literally every Labradoodle I've ever met has just been really nice to me. And I'm like, I hate you. Like that.
How cute the idea of a Labradoodle bouncing around on a trampoline with its little hair like floofing about. Oh, so cute.
Okay, thanks for the nightmares. So, yes, they invented the trampoline in 1936. We are doing a quick history on this death device with Nika because I didn't know what other tangent to do, but it's actually quite interesting. So, hear me out. Nissen was a gymnast and a diver, and Griswold was also a gymnast and also Nissen's coach. And then in 1930, Nissen was watching circus people do circus things and was like, that's really cool. Something popped into his noggin. He was 16 at the time. And then in 1934, Nissen observed the contraptions that trapeze artists would make with this, like, sheet of canvas, and then they would use it to, like, bounce off of during their performances. And he was like, there's something here. So Nissen and Griswold built the first trampoline prototype and then in 1936 started making and selling them commercially. And of course, the idea took off because, okay, who doesn't want to be in the air flying around giggling with childlike joy, right? Okay, apparently everyone. So Don't know what they're thinking about, but whatever.
So they basically stole it from the circus.
Yes.
They stole the idea. Wow.
Yes. And everyone wanted a trampoline for their backyard, okay? And Nissen was a hustler, okay? He loved trampolining and gymnastics, and he would tour around the U.S. both performing and also promoting his new contraption. And then he served in the Navy, where he met air pilots, and he convinced the Air Force to use trampolines as a way of reorienting themselves while in air. So these military men, like, very seriously, would be jumping on trampolines as actual training. Because it was said that it helped them to reorient themselves while in the air and also to forget about being scared of heights.
Okay.
I know. And also, NASA used them and still uses trampolines, which I think is fascinating and really funny, because apparently the weightless feeling of jumping on a trampoline is similar to space travel.
Ooh, we've done space travel, you guys. How exciting.
I mean, yeah, I guess, basically. And so, yeah, Nissen, like, you know, went through every branch of the U.S. commercial system. You know, you got NASA, you got the military, you have families and their children. And also, the Olympics, it became a thing. Anyway, so he continued promoting trampolines after the war, right? And he would create marketing stunts, like jumping on a trampoline around the pyramids in Egypt, or taking a picture jumping with a kangaroo. And he has said that jumping with a kangaroo was really hard, because the kangaroo would jump higher than him, and he would try to, like, hit him, and so he just, like, had to get close enough for the picture. He seems like a pretty cool guy, like, to be fair. He had to stop manufacturing trampolines commercially in the 80s because he kept getting sued from the constant injuries and accidents that happened from trampolining, which is my point exactly, okay? But he always continued with the sport even after he stopped, you know, manufacturing them commercially. And he actually got to see it become an official Olympic sport in 2000. So, honestly, good for him. Like, I don't have any bad blood toward him, you know? And it's everywhere now, you know. I mean, I don't really think about trampolines a lot, but they're there, you know what I mean? Like, they're in the backyards and the Olympic and the military, and even in fitness classes, okay? Kate Beckinsale, yes, who has wonderful arms and honestly a pretty toned ass body, is a big proponent of the classes called rebounding, which is basically just a trampoline workout. Have you heard of this workout?
Yes, they're intense.
Have you done it?
No.
It very much scares me. Apparently, this journalist from Elite Daily wrote a story about it and titled it, I tried a trampoline gym class and basically almost died in 2016, because it was big in 2016. And then with the lockdown that happened because of COVID, it also became big again, because you could just buy your mini trampoline and do it, you know, at home with videos and stuff like that. So, you know, it sounds interesting. She mentioned that it was kind of cultish, because in order to stay on the trampoline and not die, you basically have to laser focus on yourself and look at yourself, like, dead in the eyes in the mirror, and just focus on not falling and, like, work for 45 minutes. And it apparently hurts really bad. Like, it's actually a really good workout, but it doesn't sound safe. And
no,
that's my point.
Those trampolines are, like, kind of small. They're I would tiny. Be afraid of, like, missing and, like, rolling my ankle, falling.
Exactly.
It would be so embarrassing.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, I mean, would I try it? Yes, I would, of course. But still, doesn't seem safe. And before I end my tangent, to give credit where credit is due, lots of iterations of the commercial trampoline were created before Nissen, including, like, Inuit people who toss blanket dancers in the air off of walrus skin because it's elastic and bouncy. And they do that during a spring festival that they have to celebrate the end of whaling season. And then also, there is evidence that it might have been used during medieval times as a mob punishment device called blanketing, which is actually a form of hazing today. So, real fun Google wormholes that I went down on, you know? Down on, down through.
You went down on the wormholes.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I don't know what's going on. I'm a little bit sick, so you can imagine my brain mush right now. But that's the history of trampolines. You're welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
More things about, you know, white men inventing things.
More things than you did before.
Yes, and that's the important thing. Thing said four times. Gabby, I know you have something to relieve me of my misery.
Misery? What?
Yep, I definitely, it's going to be relieved. Well, we're going to continue thinking about things that we enjoy and then making them worse. So,
right.
Like trampolines, bouncy castles, etc., etc. Okay. So we're also in England at this point, you know, and it's March 24th, 1975. Nope. Yes, that's what it is. And we're in King's Lynn, England, and there's a 50-year-old dude named Alex Mitchell, and he's watching the TV, okay? And he's specifically, have y'all done this before?
I've watched TV.
Yeah.
This is a relatable story. Have you also been a 50-year-old, you know, white man who, you know, is probably mostly Scottish? Yeah.
Literally, thank God, no.
And so this dude, Alex, he's watching The Goodies, which is a show that I didn't know about, but it was a big cultural institution, basically. Not really cultural institution. That makes it sound like it was a good show. But basically, it was on for like 12 years on the BBC. And it featured three dudes who were kind of contemporaries to Monty Python. So it was another like comedy show, lots of slapstick humor, very, very silly.
British humor, it's so weird. It's very different from like American humor. Yeah. British humor is like, I don't know, they go, hot, 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 hot. And then it's like they hit themselves with like a mousetrap and then they're like, hot, 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 you know, and then you're like, ha, 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 ha. And I'm just like,
Eddie,
no one does that in America. No one's ever done that.
You know,
anytime I see British humor, I always go, hibbledy dibbledy.
That's good, Taylor.
That's my favorite thing.
I rewatched an episode of The Simpsons last week after not watching it for literally like, I think decades at this point.
You haven't been, you've hardly been alive for decades.
You know what, Taylor? You can actually go put your face into the pillow and not speak. Anyway, as
go
I was saying.
Go bounce on a trampoline, Taylor.
Yeah, that's my biggest insult. Anyway, all that to say, didn't really hold up all too well for me, personally.
Yeah. Same with this television program. But I also don't want to poo-poo it because I also understand it's, you know, an important part of comedy, you know, whatever. But still, it's a very, very silly show. But Alex, he's enjoying the heck out of the episode that he's watching. He's laughing, having a grand old time. You know, almost for the entire episode, some people say he was like laughing just the whole time, the whole 25 minutes. But then suddenly during the television TV show, he fainted and then he started breathing funny, according to his daughter and his wife who were with him at the time. And then he died.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. British humor.
Mm-mm. So he goes from laughing a bunch to then dying upon the ground. Okay. His death makes headlines across the world, and it's definitely framed as the man who laughed himself to death. The show was so gosh dang funny that he had heart failure. That's basically what everyone thinks happened.
Oh no.
Is that confirmed?
Well, we might get there a little bit later. Darn, darn, darn. But okay, here's the thing. I'm a big risk taker. So I looked at the episode that he was watching and I watched it.
Oh, no. Oh. Gabby, are you okay? Oh, my gosh.
I am still here to this day. Okay, listener, I'm alive as of whatever day this is.
Thank goodness. You should have told Nika and me.
Like, done, like, when you're walking
home from
the bar.
That you were going to do that so that we could, like, check on you.
Yeah, but do it for the watching the TV. Well, I decided to take a risk. I looked around. I thought I would be safe because I thought, you know, humor is subjective and we might have a different sense of humor. And indeed, we do.
I am different
from a man in the 70s. But I watched the episode and the show's very silly. So they have like the three main dudes who made the show and they're also the stars of the show. And they basically have like three different personality types. One is like this, he's, you know, a big fan of the ruling class and doesn't have a chin, basically, which is kind of funny with British people. But then there's also a guy who's like a middle class scientist and this other guy who's kind of like this more like hippie-ish anarchist type person. But they basically, it starts off in a very fun way of like two of them are doing kung fu and they're doing some really fun Chinese impressions. Very fun. Very
racist,
fun.
Racist.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. And then this other guy comes in. He's like, you guys are shit at kung fu. I know this other type of fighting called Ecky Thump. And then it's a very silly type of fighting that he learns in Northern England, where this special trick move is you take a piece of black pudding, which is like nasty black sausage, and you just hit people over the head with it. Okay. So that's the whole fighting thing. And then it gets better because then he fights all these other varieties. He fights them while they're doing kung fu. There's also, they make up this weird French style where they just hit people with baguettes. But then the black pudding comes in. And the best part, you know, that we just loved was there was blackface. And so they dressed up as a boxer in blackface. And they also hit them with the pudding. And anyway, so just some fun. There was
What year did this come out again?
75. Okay. 1975. So
I don't like that.
You know. But this is the part that they say that Alex was laughing the most at, which I do appreciate, is that they do have a bagpiper, so a Scotsman who gets hit in the head with a boomerang. And apparently that's the funniest part. And Alex himself...
Oh, we hate bagpipers here.
And boomerangs. Like,
but Alex himself was like Scottish and like a proud Scot. And he thought that was the funniest part. And I'm like, it's great that he's like laughing at himself, basically. You know, I think we could all take, you know... a note from Alex there, because like we should be able to laugh at ourselves, okay? Ha ha, Scotsman being hit with a boomerang.
I do think that stuff is like funnier when you are like, things that make me laugh is like when I see myself in it and like that's making fun of me. I'm like, oh my God, I do that. This is ridiculous. Oh no. Like, and then I'm laughing at myself at how dumb I am.
Do you like all of our horse girl jokes, Taylor?
No.
Sorry, Yummy. Continue with your story.
Anyway, so learning lessons, laugh at yourself. It's healthy, okay? And also, this was kind of fun. So his wife, after he died, actually sent a letter to the Goodies and was like, hey, thank you for making the last 25 minutes of my husband's life so enjoyable.
Oh, that's nice. Sweet.
I would be like, you murdered my husband.
Yeah.
You're racist.
I was thinking about that in contemporary times. I feel like that would be more likely the response, especially in America. As we know, America is a place where we sue everyone. So I'm sure... they would try to sue a sketch group for making someone laugh too hard. You know, you're so problematic. You made people laugh too hard. You shouldn't do that.
I get told that all the time.
Okay. Here's the thing. Is laughing dangerous? Like, is this a thing that's like happened, you know, throughout time? Have people like actually... are there like, because, you know, they always be like, laughter is the best medicine, but like, wait a second, you know, what can it do that is bad, you know? And so these fucking Debbie Downers, they did a study where they collected a bunch of studies from the 40s to like 2013. And all these studies were about laughter. And they were basically trying to ascertain what could be the negative health effects of laughing. Like, what a project. Like, how did they pitch that project, you know?
Fun police.
Yeah, exactly. But they did find 15 bad things that can happen when you laugh. You can faint, irregular heartbeat, cardiac rupture. You could accidentally choke on something, because if you inhale something while you're laughing, you can have asthma, increased risk for lung collapse.
You can pee yourself.
Yeah, that is actually one of the negative ones. They say peeing your pants, which I'm like, that's not a health effect. That's just embarrassing, you know? Yeah,
like all of these things could happen too if you're not laughing.
That's true.
But one thing they did, which I thought was interesting, was they're like, hey, yeah, these are 15 bad things, but there's actually like tons of benefits of laughing, like reducing stress, anxiety, etc. You know, not being...
workout.
Actually, yeah. And they said, but this was like funny because they said it could be great for obesity, because if you laugh, you know, have a hearty laugh for the whole day, then you can like burn 2000 calories. But I'm like, who's having a hearty laugh the whole fucking day? Like, are you just going to laugh for 8 hours? Like, what the hell?
We just need to hang out with Gabby more and I'll lose weight.
Ooh, funny. I love that.
No, because then you'll succumb to my trash diet, which is just whatever is available. And that's usually like a cheesy bread, you know?
Oh.
A cheesy
bread. How are you always surrounded by cheesy bread? I don't understand. It takes
me
a long time to find the right cheesy bread, but I guess it just finds you.
It finds me, you know? I just like house it for people and then they just have that in the freezer. You know, they've had it in there for a long time. And I'm like, well, I'll be the one who eats this cheesy bread. Okay?
Yeah, you're like, that's my responsibility.
Yeah, I'm a good house sitter. I eat your cheesy bread, okay? But I tell that to people. If they have cheesy bread, I'm going to eat it, okay? Also, this was funny. Okay, one benefit of laughing, which sounds fake, but it says that there are higher pregnancy rates after in vitro fertilization when a clown joke with would-be mothers. That seems fake.
What?
Like, basically people getting IVF, and they're like, this clown made them laugh, and then it took hold better. That sounds fake as hell,
wait,
right?
Like, but how many, yeah, how, I mean, IVF can also, again, work, or it doesn't work. You know what I mean? Like, there are two options, so...
But they said if you have a clown present, it might work better.
How many times have has a clown been present? Is this like a thing that people do?
If I had a clown near me and I had some kind of sperm around me, I would shoot the sperm out of my vagina out of fear.
I know, right?
I don't think a clown has ever made me laugh. Clowns are just not funny. Sorry.
Yeah, clowns.
Clowns out there.
It's true. Clowns have also never made me laugh.
What is funny about a person that's like wearing a weird outfit and like on purpose, like they're trying too hard, you know, like do less.
That's that's the problem with clowns. They have too many props, you know.
They got,
just
you
rely
know,
on your
nose,
wit, clown,
the
your
face
fucking
paint.
Pussy, right? Anyway,
big shoes, it's all too much, like too many colors. I don't know.
But okay, so that seems fake, but maybe, who knows? Okay, just if you are getting IVF, maybe bring a clown with you, just to be safe. Okay,
yeah, or just take your husband for free, because the husband's a clown. Get it?
Got it.
But actually,
it's good.
Be nice
when you explain a joke. That means it's good. Okay. But okay, so they didn't.
I love being bullied.
But anyway, so Alex, who was watching the TV show, who died after laughing. They didn't know for a long time what had happened. They were just assumed it was some sort of like heart failure. But then in 2012, his granddaughter had like a cardiac problem. The same thing that had happened to him happened to her, where she suddenly fainted and then started having all these like heart problems. And then she had to be induced into a coma afterwards. And she was only 23 when this happened. And what?
Oh my gosh, I'm 23.
Yeah, watch out, Nika. But it was interesting that this happened, because then it helped them. She did survive. But then because of like her problem, they were able to diagnose what likely happened to her grandfather. And they discovered that she had long QT syndrome, which is usually a genetic disorder that gets passed down. And it's a heart rhythm condition that can sort of make your heart beat in an irregular or like too fast kind of way. And so like if you're excited or scared or have heightened emotions, laughing, or even if you're exercising, watch out, Nika. You might faint, have a seizure, and then because of the heart problems, then you could potentially die. So they assume because he had fainted, and fainting is like the main sign of having long QT syndrome, that's probably what happened to him. So they solved the mystery.
Only how many years later?
30, 40 years later, about.
Yeah, Gabby, you do the math. I don't want to. I always think it's so interesting when, like, years and years and years and years and years later, things are solved.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes it takes time, y'all. And there are a few others. So it does seem if you have a heart condition, that's probably, you know, when you might die from laughing. But there's been like a few other silly cases throughout history. There is, in the 5th century, there is this painter who they say he died after laughing so much because he had painted Aphrodite in a really funny way, because this old woman who had commissioned the painting had insisted that she model for it. So he apparently laughed himself to death about how silly his painting looked. That could be fake. And then we have a 3rd century philosopher. He died of laughing after he saw a donkey eating his figs. So, I mean, donkeys are pretty funny, so that makes sense.
They are funny. They're so cute. So cute.
And then in 1410, a king of Aragon, he laughed himself to death, but it might have also been after his jester told him a joke, but it also might have been an indigestion problem. So make sure you're laughing on an empty stomach, okay? And then this one was really funny because it's very relatable, is in 1920, this Australian man died after he was laughing because he was like reading the paper, and I think he was just aghast from the years of 1915 to 1920, how much prices had risen on certain commodities. So he was laughing so much at, you know, which I feel like I laugh too when I look at like housing prices. I'm like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
So he made a remark to his wife about how prices were so much more. And then he apparently died after he was laughing about capitalism. So
I mean, I get that. I'm laughing right now how I went from a hybrid to like an SUV and the gas prices have gone up so much. I'm like, wow, I'm dumb.
So watch out, Taylor. That might be a laughing. You know, the laughing out of desperation is also a way you can laugh and lead to death.
I feel like that's how I laugh a lot, is trying to not cry.
Yeah, you're just like, oh my God.
Life is so terrible.
Life is so bad. That's what we do on this show. So anyway, that is, watch out, guys. You know, laugh in moderation. That's all I can say. Also, make sure you don't have a heart condition.
I hope we're not too funny for everyone.
We're too funny
now.
I
highly doubt it.
But I also like this episode so far because it's like having fun, like bouncy castle, trampoline, yeah. Laughing. We can't do any of those things anymore.
No yeah. Fun.
Exactly. Thank you, Gabby. Wow. Oh, another thing to be scared of. Am I right? Am I right, guys?
You're right.
Okay.
Ow, well, oh, my heart.
No, don't do that. Oh, that scratchy sound was my throat. Okay, when we come back, you know, another tangent that's kind of not about this, but we do what we can. We do what we can, okay? Stick around, bitch. Love you.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You know, that was such a funny story. What's really fun about this is that I also have a things that should be fun but are actually bad tangent to go on. So with your blessing, I think I'm going to go on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this is like slightly related if you're doing what I think you're doing. So I think it makes sense. I think our tangent is...
Winky, winky.
Good.
I love it. Good. Okay. Well, you know, I love... to laugh as much as the next person, but laughing by being tickled is not really my... Actually, that is a lie. I don't know why the fuck I wrote this. I love being tickled. What the heck?
What?
Anyway.
I hate it.
You hate being tickled?
It's like such an invasion of
it
my
is invasive.
Space.
Well, it has to be consensual. Like, I love the idea of being tickled, but only by a very select group of people. And there needs to be some kind of safe word because... it can also get very overwhelming, as I will explain the reason why.
It
but you just don't
me
like
so
it.
Mad.
Really?
Like, just because it, like, I have this dumb reaction of laughing does not mean that I'm enjoying it.
Where do you like getting tickled, Taylor?
No, I don't.
Okay, tickle Titty Taylor.
Don't tickle me ever.
But where are you ticklish is my question.
She's not going to tell us, Nika.
No.
No, I won't do it. I'm not like, I'm not an assaulter. I'm not like a British comedian.
I'll tell you one.
One.
One of the things that annoys me the most. Well, my dad used to do this. Grab your, just above your knee. You know?
That's a very sensitive spot.
Don't ever do it because I'll just kick you, but.
Taylor's the horse.
Kick me like a horse.
Hey,
I feel like tickling's like the final frontier of like consent, you know, because I feel like people don't usually ask for consent about it. And we like people tickle children. I'm like, those children probably don't like it because the whole time you're being tickled, all you're yelling is stop, stop, stop. But you're like, stop.
Exactly. My niece, though, she really likes it. And what she'll do, I guess I figured this out. She'll go in these like little rants where she'll be like, get me. And she'll say, get me, Taylor. And so then she just wants me to, like, chase her and then tickle her.
That's embarrassing. That's literally how I am. Gabby, do you like being tickled?
What do you think?
No.
Absolutely not. Is that correct?
I like to tickle people, but I've never been with...
I'm sorry. I don't
okay,
know
here's the thing.
Imagining Gabby tickling someone is like imagining a big octopus tickling someone. Like, I can't see it in my brain.
A big octopus. That's how you think about me. I don't know what that means, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
Enveloping is what I'm saying.
Well, I do the thing where it's like, you know, people have spots, so I'll just like jab them in this ticklish spot, you know, like in the ribs. I'm just jab with my 8 tentacles.
Okay, but anyway, so Gabby sent me this link like literally last night because she knew I had not done my research yet, thank God, about being tickled. And apparently there's this thing called tickle torture, which I am not surprised about, but here it is.
I feel like tickling is torture, so I understand.
Okay, I also sent that to you because it seemed like you would enjoy it.
Oh, I deeply enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Gabby. So it apparently began in ancient China during the Han Dynasty, and it was used because it didn't leave any marks that the victims had to recover from. And so it was also especially used on royalty because obviously looks were very important back then, and being seen as like untouchable or like, you know, no blemishes were a big deal. So tickle torture was actually kind of the perfect way of torturing people. And then it also was a thing in ancient Rome. And what they would do there, it was a very specific thing. They would dip the criminal's feet in like salty water and then have a goat lick it off until like they couldn't take it anymore, basically.
That is so mean.
Isn't that so bad? And so then obviously it would start off kind of ticklish at first, you know, you're the goat licking your feet, and then it would become excruciatingly painful, and then they'd cry, but they would also continue laughing while they were being restrained.
Ooh. That's kind of hilarious.
It's very funny. And then also it was a thing also in ancient Japan. So, you know, for centuries, this has been a thing, and it's just fascinating to me. And I was kind of reading about it because... What? I had to, but also it honestly really interested me. Like, what causes this much stress when you're getting tickled? Why? Like, is it actually torture? And it seems like when you're tickled, what reacts is this part of the brain called the hypothalamus, and that's the area in your brain that is in charge of emotional reactions, and that is very stimulated when you're being tickled. And so regardless of whether you enjoy it or not, the response is an immediate emotional response. So you'll still be laughing uncontrollably, like even if you're not enjoying it, which is the very frustrating thing about being tickled and consent and that whole thing. And there's evidence that pain receptors are triggered during tickling, which can lead to severe overstimulation if it's done against your will, obviously. And then if it's done for a prolonged period of time, some people have reported vomiting, loss of consciousness, or major difficulty breathing because they're laughing so hard from being tickled or asking to stop. And so, yes, of course, like it has led to death.
Of course it has.
I mean, you know, there was this man specifically, Joseph Kahoot, who was a prisoner of the Nazis in World War II for being homosexual. And he witnessed someone being tickled to death in a concentration camp, which is obviously disgusting. And it was also used as torture more recently by a group of women in Mayotte, which is this overseas department of France. They did this torture technique in 1966 against men who were opposed to their political views to get them to sway in their views, basically, and do whatever they wanted. And there was also, I read about this person who, I think it was like the 1900s or something. He was a doctor at a like psychiatry ward. And this man was strapped in, and basically this doctor was bored and like took off the socks of the patient and was tickling the patient till like the patient basically lost consciousness, and then also gave the patient a bloody nose. And then the doctor was found doing that and had a trial, and I think he was guilty. So, Lord. But it's been a thing. Like, people love the power dynamic of tickling, which
can
is
you imagine?
So bad.
Like, that's like, that would be like a liberal way to torture. Like, I want you to be, you know, to tickle conservatives into being like, I'm going to tickle
conservatives
you.
Into being liberal.
Yeah. Like, what a silly, like, I want you to be
it
on my side.
It seems silly, but like, it can be really bad. There was also this study that I read about where these researchers interviewed 150 adult siblings about kind of if they ever felt abused by their siblings. And many of them said that being tickled felt like a form of abuse because they couldn't say no, which is really scary. Like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, did I tickle my siblings? Like, have I ever enacted that kind of force against someone? I don't know. I mean, I feel like probably because we all kind of grow up. I mean, I feel like it's not as popular now, but we all grow up tickling people / not learning about consent in the way that I think kids are learning about consent now.
Yeah, I mean, it so also, weird. I feel like it's like such a silly thing that it's like, I mean, can you imagine like the doctor who was like on trial, like how embarrassing and silly that yeah. is to be on trial for tickling?
I know.
You know? Like,
but like it really causes an emotional, you know, panic response in your brain. And also, speaking of, you know, being tickled, power dynamics, consent, all of that stuff, tickle torture has also, of course, become a big thing on like the BDSM community. And, you know, in consensual relationships, tickle torture is also a thing that many dominatrixes are very, very good at. It's actually pretty common. And there's even websites, oh my gosh, this is so funny, like onlytickle.com or tickledates.com. There's a really great paper interview that I read with this pro tickle torturer who explains that it's like torturing someone without harming them actually or getting violent. And it feels really good, like as a release, especially in a power dynamic situation. Apparently, some submissives really like the mind game interrogation style of tickling. The dominatrix said that one time she left a man, you know, strapped, and then she put itching powder on his feet and then left him in a room for like an hour, and that
Ew.
Was just like torturous, but like he wanted it. And then others like it more soft and playful and fun, and it just depends on like what they want. And, you know, before I end the tickle tangent, the TT, I need to tell you guys about this man who made a documentary about competitive endurance tickling.
Stop.
And I know. So this journalist from New Zealand went on like a rabbit hole when he found these videos of like young men, usually from 18 to 25-ish, very homoerotic, like on top of each other, tickling each other and seeing how long could they endure. And these videos were, there were many, many videos, and it came from this weird website. And so he like tried to track down the website to ask more questions about competitive tickling. And the website owner like responded very aggressively and like, leave me alone, blah, blah, whatever. And the journey on what these videos are, how do they get made, who owns these videos, who are the models, and all of that sort of stuff ended up becoming a documentary that premiered at the Sundance Film Festival in 2016 because it was not as innocent as it seemed. It was actually very much an illegal, taking advantage of the models, abuse kind of situation within the competitive endurance tickling world. And it's just a mess, but also a really interesting documentary, and I really want to watch it this weekend, so...
That's so weird.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There is nothing innocent in this world.
Nothing. Not even tickling.
Not even
cadaver
tickling.
Gals getting the inside scoop on the tickle.
Once again. So, you know, we've learned so many things about what should be fun can actually be super dangerous and
don't
scary.
Have fun. No tick leg, no laughing, no bouncy castles, no trampolines, no clowns. But we already knew about clowns.
Well, thanks so much for listening. You know, don't laugh ever. And, you know, that's talk at you next time. Ooh, bye. Cadaver Gals. Cadaver Gals is a production of School of Humans and iHeartRadio. It is produced, edited, researched, hosted, etc. by Taylor Church, Gabby Watts, and Nika Duarte. You can find us on Instagram at Cadaver Gals and also Twitter. Feel free to leave a nice review, but be nice or else please don't.
Or else Taylor will cry.
We'll tickle. Wow, the girls are still on. Okay. Or Taylor will cry. Talk at you next week. Bye.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind. So you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.